Good morning and welcome to the chapel. I'm Pastor Bill, the campus pastor here, and we are campus ministry of the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. So if you're joining us online, we are so honored to have you. Let's begin with our opening. We begin in the name of our great God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, breathe meaning into us as we read your word. Your word is holy, it's precious, and it works. So Lord, as we encounter the great story of Christmas once again, Lord, help it to be meaningful in this day, in our world, in our circumstances. We pray this in your holy name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The gospel lesson for this, the first Sunday of Christmas, is in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul." Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. There is so much rich detail in this account. I love to put things to my imagination. It's 40 days after giving birth. Mary and Joseph are called up to Jerusalem for this festival of dedication. And if they were leaving Bethlehem to Jerusalem, that's a 5.5-mile walk uphill. I mean, I just think about that for Mary, just having given birth and having to walk uphill 5.5 miles. I'm picturing them entering into the temple with that new parent fatigue. Mary is like, "What did I just do to my body?" Joseph has got this new dad glassy kind of look in his eyes, and they're there, but they're not really there. Because that's what every new parent kind of goes through. And then these two characters, Simeon and Anna, kind of come out of nowhere, very, very strange strangers. And I'm just trying to picture this in my mind, what that would have been like for Mary and Joseph. And I'm picturing myself in the mall at a very crowded public place and two very strange strangers coming up to me in the midst of my new parent, foggy head, sleep-deprived self, you know, taking my child, kind of doing the, you know, the Lion King thing, you know, and proclaiming something and then turning to me and looking me straight in the eye and saying something like, you know, your child is going to cure cancer. And then they walk away. And, you know, like, what do you do with that? As a parent, you're kind of like, whoa, what just happened here? And it's just such a scene that's so rich in the drama, in the emotion of what's going on. For me, this gospel lesson strikes me in three ways, three things that I see are important. And the first thing is this. God cares for Mary and Joseph by reminding them of what he promised them that first Christmas, but he's doing it through other people. So Mary and Joseph have the Christmas morning experience. The angels declare things, the shepherds are there and the wise men and all that. But that's meant for them. Now, 40 days later, they have complete strangers coming up to them and essentially selling them the same thing that God revealed to them on that first Christmas morning. To me, that's a great example of God's care for Mary and Joseph. He's allowing them to see the promises that God has given them through the eyes of someone else. And what it reminds me is how much we need each other as Mary and Joseph needed Simeon and Anna. We need each other because believing the promises of God for us are difficult. Believing the promises of God for Mary and Joseph was terribly difficult. But we need to see each other believing in those promises. And so when we look each other in the eye and we say to one another things like, you know in your heart that Jesus forgives you, but I just want to mention this to you directly, that in Jesus you are forgiven. Our faith and our trust in that forgiveness becomes somehow more tangible, somehow more real. And that's what I see going on for Mary and Joseph when Simeon and Anna do this great testimony of who this baby is going to be. When Mary and Joseph hear Simeon say things like, this baby is going to be the glory of Israel. This baby is going to be the light to the Gentiles. This baby is going to cause the rising and the falling of many. This baby is going to reveal the hearts of many. And even you, Mary, your own heart is going to be pierced. What Simeon is telling them is what the angel announced to them that first Christmas. And I think that that's just one example of how God shows his love to them and how God shows his love to us through each other. When you face a time of loneliness, but you have a friend in Christ who reminded you of the promises of God that in Christ you're never really alone, your faith is strengthened in that. So that's the first thing I see, is that God is caring for Mary and Joseph through Simeon and Anna. The second thing that really connects with me in this story is how jacked up Simeon and Anna are about this new baby Jesus. There's an urgency there. They're very, very verbal. their whole lives have been structured around the promise of this Messiah. God tells Simeon that he's not going to die until he fulfills this promise. And so Simeon is waiting and waiting and waiting. And Anna, she's a very strange stranger. You know, she's old. She's in the temple day and night fasting and praying. I got a feeling that this Anna character looked a little bit rough. But they're so jacked up about the coming promise of this Messiah. To me, that's just inspiring. There's something about them that I want that kind of inspiration to rub off on me. Getting close to Jesus for them was something that happened. There was an unapologetic moment, an unrehearsed. There was a hypnotized, intoxicated, unguarded moment when they just went off in worship. That's inspiring. Now, I think about that in terms of our family as a chapel and the students who I have been privileged to care for and just live alongside you. I think about we're kind of a unique, intoxicated group ourselves. The things that get us fired up, the things that really get us jacked up. I think about you, Mr. Michael McCann. You sit down and talk about politics, and you just don't stop. I think about Amo. Get you talking about ROTC, and it's like, ooh, and after another, and then another. I think about Tyler McLaughlin. I've never known a student more jacked up about tractors. I mean, how can a guy get more excited about tractors? I think about Jackson, Orman, and sports. I think about Jala and anything related to leadership. Cole Karcher, talk about hunting, and you just don't shut up. I think about Matthew Bay and guns. I think about Chris and your cat. I mean, come on, it's a cat. But your cat, oh my gosh, your cat. India and gardening. And then, of course, there's Margaret. Now, Margaret, you are like super chatty, super jacked up about absolutely everything. So I'm surrounded by you guys, these incredible, gifted, loving students. And you are really jacked up in areas of life. And here's my challenge for all of us. As we look at Simeon and Anna, let's get jacked up about Jesus. Let's be unapologetic. I mean, socially sensitive, but yes, let's go for it in talking about Jesus. I was on the phone with a guy who was having time with a very difficult family member. And we were like, how's it going? And it didn't take long for this guy on the other side of the phone describing what this family member was doing. And we actually had a good laugh about it because it's pretty unbelievable. But then he went right down the road of, and I have no idea. I'm going to be spending 6 days with this person. I have no idea what God is doing and trying to teach me by being around this person. But my point is that this guy on the phone went right down. He brought in a spiritual conversation right away. He was unapologetically enthusiastic about what God could be revealing to him in the midst of this really, really difficult roommate. What about us? My challenge for us as a chapel family is to, let's pray towards that in getting like swept away in the enthusiasm of what we see God doing in our lives. Let's talk about that. When I think about this scene, that's what I see. I see Anna going, bah, 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 bah. This is the child. I don't know. Let's capture some of that juice. Okay, the third thing that I see that really strikes me is Mary and Joseph, they're taking all of this in, and the text that I read says is that they're marveled. They're marveled. Or amazed, or astonished. It's the Greek word for, it's thaumazontos. And so this Greek word is not a word that says, wow, yeah, that's really cool. It's not the kind of a word like that. It's a word that combines fear and astonishment. Fear and astonishment. And so when I think about that combination, what jumped in my memory was going to the Omaha Zoo, going to the lion exhibit, and there's this full-grown lion right there, and there's a 3-inch glass plate between me and the lion, and just studying this beast and letting the beast look me in the eye and studying me, there's this fear and astonishment. Then I think to myself what it would be like if that glass wasn't there. Well, then there'd only be fear. But then I think about, well, what if the lion handler was right there, no glass, but the lion handler said, hey, this animal's been trained, and you're safe, and you can get close. There would be this fear and astonishment going on. I would kind of like a dog, you know, you stick your hand out, let him sniff, but you're in the presence of this huge beast. So there's this dynamic going on in Mary and Joseph, which was they could hear the words of Simeon and Anna, and there was an element of real fear in what they were saying. What does this all mean? But then there's also this astonishment with this. This is like, this really is too good to be true. That's the third thing that stuck out at me in terms of this word called astonishment. And it seems to me like in my life, this word applies in big moments or in big questions. Questions like, how can this be that I am so fully sinful? There's a fear element of that. And yet, God, in Christ Jesus, is so rich in mercy and forgiveness. It really is too good to be true. There's the astonishment. A really big question like, what's going on? This news is really, really bad. And yet at the same time, I just know that my Jesus, my Savior and Lord, is in the midst of this and that I'm going to be okay. Questions like, how will I ever recover? This relationship has just now broken my heart. And yet, in Christ, I know that I am fully loved and not lonely. Questions like these questions that, you know, how will I ever recover? And maybe you're asking that because this last semester, your grades took a big suffering. They took a big hit. And you're like, oh, what does this mean for me now? How am I ever going to recover? Or maybe that, you know, you've just lost a sense of direction in life. Or maybe your business is struggling. And then Jesus says, I'm going to be enough for you. And I'm going to care for you and carry you through this. Questions like, you know, where am I headed? I got a degree, but now I'm stuck and I'm waiting on tables. So where am I headed in life? I know this is a huge issue for many, especially of us who are young people, who are looking at others and they're looking at others, people moving on in life. And I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just so stuck. But then realizing this astonishing thing that there's no point in my life, even waiting tables, where Jesus wastes that experience. He's always going to be building something out of that. So I love that that part of being marveled at for Mary and Joseph as they receive this this very terrifying, troubling news that's also astonishing. So here's my prayer for you. As we take this and we ask, okay, what does this look like for us as we move forward? My prayer for us as a chapel family is that we get enthusiastically excited about what God is doing in our life. That we realize that God is working in our life like he worked in Mary and Joseph's. And that we have a story to tell. And the hero of our story is Jesus. In his taking all of the things that we think of are fearful, all of those big questions, all of those big moments in life, and working out his plan in ways that really are astonishing. Chapel family, you all have something to say. You all have a Lord and Savior who loves you, died for you, rose for you, and gives you life today and life eternal. And so may we this week just get bold like Simeon and Anna and confident in the promises of God. And maybe you just talk about them and verbally express them in the places where we go and in the people that we meet. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Mary and Joseph needed this moment in the temple. You encouraged them. You helped them solidify their faith in these promises that the angels announced 40 days earlier. Lord, you give us a picture of a faith that's on fire in Simeon and Anna, of real conviction, of real boldness. Lord, that inspires us. And Lord, we want to be marveled. We want to be astonished and amazed. And we have things that don't make sense, that are fearful, and yet you are always working. Help us to trust in that. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in your great and awesome name, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Have a great week, everyone, in the Lord, and look forward to talking to you again next week. Amen. Bye-bye.